One lone senator tried to save us a bunch of money with gas prices going through the roof. He tried to do something about it. Unfortunately, it was thwarted by the Democrats in the Washington State House. Joining us now in the Genuine Auto Glass studio line, Washington State Senator Simon Sifcik. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
So why don't you walk me through exactly what happened? Because there's some legalese here. There's some procedural issues here. Why don't you tell us exactly how it broke down?
Sure. So at the very beginning of the session, Ari, I sponsored a bill to suspend the state gas tax to basically save every person in Washington who purchases gas about 50 cents per gallon. And then when it was considered, it was pretty quickly sort of brushed off as being out of touch or not really relevant. And I made the pitch that I think it's very relevant. And I think I've been vindicated by what we've seen in the last few weeks with rising gasoline prices. And so I did what's called a ninth order motion, which is basically bringing a bill from the committee that it was registered to all the way to the Senate floor, which is basically a very uncommon motion, and it's especially uncommon for a freshman senator to make. But I said I think this is important, and so I brought it to the Senate floor. And unfortunately, the response I heard in return was pretty much, well, if you want to go home and end the session, then vote this down because we need to go home. That was essentially the response. And so that was very disappointing, as I think everybody wants to go home, but I want to be able to go home and say that I legitimately fought and achieved tax relief for the people who are especially struggling right now.
So you're going to be running for re-election this year. I believe your term is up. But then the question I have is, do these other people in the Senate not realize that they have to go run for re-election when there's very likely going to be some kind of red wave this year, and they may get swept out of office along with it? Their response, their defense of this is going to be, well, I just want to go home?
Well, you know, they're going to try to say different things. They're going to try to say that this is just a tax break for oil companies and things like that, which is just funny. It's clearly evident that they haven't read the bill in the way I designed it. But, you know, that's exactly the problem. And I think it shows how out of touch some of the leaders are right now, which is just this mentality that every dollar and penny that comes into Olympia, they think, has to be spent on some new program or study or regulation. And I just think that we need to actually return the money back to the people who gave it to us in the first place. And, you know, I'll mention on that point, that's why I think I'm being vindicated at the federal level. Ironically enough, two Democratic senators are pushing for federal gas tax relief. Different states, the Republican governor in Georgia and a Democrat, Governor Newsom in California, is thinking about doing the same exact thing. So I would suggest that it's not really a radical notion at all, but it is a good way to return money back to the people.
And I don't think Governor Jay Inslee would ever consider something like that. We're talking with Senator Simon Sifcik from the 42nd District of Washington about how he tried to save every single one of you who is driving right now money on your gas, but the Democrats wouldn't do it. Let me play devil's advocate for a second here. If we got rid of the gas tax, wouldn't that mean the state would be hurting for money?
Well, that's certainly what some people have said about it. Again, the way I wrote the bill wouldn't actually affect our ability to fund transportation at all. We've had some of the highest budget surpluses that we've had in years here in the legislature. And so my proposal would have just transferred funds from the general fund over to the transportation fund. So yes, your potholes, your roads and bridges would have still been able to get repaired with my bill. But instead, you know, the Democrats sort of just shut it down and said, well, we have other priorities we need to fund. And I understand that. Everybody wants to spend every dollar. But again, I don't view it that way. I think that we need to return money back to the people.
Here's something I had a challenge with. One of your colleagues over there in the Senate, not on your side of the aisle, the other side of the aisle, Senator Marco Elias posted that the Move Ahead Washington bill includes $216 million in funding for school-based bike programs so that more of our students have access to different types of transportation, along with a comprehensive safety course. If you bought every single one of the 1.6 million kids in Washington a bike, even those who own one, at an average of $100 a bike, that's only $160 million. What are they spending this money on?
Well, that is a great question. And, you know, he's calling it the Move Ahead package, and I've nicknamed it the Left Behind package because I think that's really what it does. And I think, you know, to answer your question, that money we both know is going to get sucked up in some sort of bureaucratic process that doesn't actually go to supposedly the kids that we're trying to help with this program. But, you know, that's how they market it. They market it as, well, how could you say no to free bikes? Do you hate kids? Do you hate children? And the answer is no, of course not. But we think that our money should get spent responsibly. That's what I believe in. And I think that citizens know how to spend their money better than a group of politicians and bureaucrats in a far distant capital like Olympia that think that we can run our lives better than the people can. I just don't believe that.
We're talking with Senator Simon Sefcik from the 42nd District of Washington State about the most recent legislative session that just wrapped up. So for you, in summary, what do you think were the biggest successes and what do you think were the biggest losses on our side of the aisle?
Well, you know, I've joked before, I think sometimes some of the biggest successes are that the legislation, some of the worst bills got killed. So that's the nature of being in the minority, is sometimes the best success you have is by just making sure that they don't have a success. But I think there were some things that were achieved here that I think are going to move us in the right direction. You know, we made some decent progress on some of the police reform issues, not nearly as much as we would have liked, but we addressed the use of force for probable cause and reasonable suspicion in the Senate. And so we've made sort of slow incremental steps, but I think the bottom line is until there's a change in leadership, we're not going to be able to achieve the things that people in Washington really want, which is reforming our public safety laws, returning affordability back to the people, and ensuring responsibility in government. I mean, the final thing I'll mention there is we are still in a state of emergency, and there was no meaningful emergency powers reform done this session at all, which is just shocking.
In the last few minutes we have with Senator Simon Sefcik from the 42nd District of Washington, you brought up the emergency powers. This is something I get very upset about every single day. I track how many days it's been that he has had emergency powers for. I've only been doing that for about a month, and I'm still blown away about how many days have gone by. Do you think that the Democrats didn't want to do it because they figured this is their last opportunity before the midterm elections, or do you think they didn't want to do it because they're not worried about the midterm elections?
I think that they didn't want to do it because they don't believe in holding the governor responsible, ultimately. I think that they know that it's a good messaging thing because they know that people are upset about it. That's why they actually proposed a bill, Senate Bill 5909, that didn't really do much. It didn't actually reform emergency powers. It was essentially a nothing burger, but they still tried to sell it to the people as a way to make it look like they were achieving this sort of accountability, but they just weren't. And I think the bottom line is they're seeing the repercussions of that. And that's why I think suddenly the emergency order may end up ending and everyone's going to pretend that it never existed. And what I'm just reminding people is we can't forget about this, right? We cannot forget about what has happened to businesses and communities in these past few years. And we have to remember that the legislature has to keep the executive branch responsible. So that's why in some ways I say I blame the legislative branch more than I blame the governor for this, because we should have been the ones holding him accountable from day one.
Senator, I completely agree with you. I know you're up for re-election this year, so you want to come back on the show and talk about your campaign. Please be in touch. It's been an absolute pleasure having you. And thank you so much for trying to save us that money, trying to do the right thing. It's a shame that the opposition party stood in your way, but we really do appreciate your efforts.
Well, thanks, Ari. I appreciate you having me. And again, to all of those who are paying more and more for gas each day, I would just remind you that actions have consequences, and a failure of leadership is what has caused a lot of these problems.
Senator Simon Sefcik of the 42nd District of Washington, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Have a good day.
You as well.